Take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The lesson will be a little different tonight. I'm gonna teach you something about helping your relationship with teenagers. Helping your relationship with teenagers. And I don't mention handcuffs or barbed wire or anything like that in this lesson. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm going to have you stand with me if you would please. 1 Samuel chapter 17, find verse number 33. Verse number 33, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 33, and I'll read a dozen verses or so here. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. As you know, we started, this is the 25th lesson on the subject of relationships. Life is primarily made up of your relationship with God and your relationship with people. And tonight, again, how to help or how to improve your relationship with teenagers. 1 Samuel 17:33, it says, "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant keep his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." And let's pray. Father, the story is very popular and has been known by many of us for many years. Tonight, we learn from it, we glean from it in a special way, in a unique way. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would control what's said and then control what is heard and help us as Christians to be better because of what we hear and then what we live as a result of it in some way make someone's relationships stronger tonight. Because they came to church, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Of course, that's the story of David and Goliath. Let me retell a little bit about the story. Goliath was a Philistine. He was of a place called Gath. Goliath, according to all speculation, was over 9 foot tall. He was a big bully, if you will. And he was defying God. He was defying God's armies. David's brothers had left their shepherding, and they had gone to battle with the Philistines. And Goliath was on the he was the enemy, and he was mocking and making fun of God and God's army and God's people. David, when his brothers went off to battle, he stayed home, and he was helping his dad. David, from all indications, was at home because he was the youngest of all of them. Some believe that David was in his teenage years, maybe in his older teenage years. I don't know. I don't think anybody could tell you exactly how old he was at this time. The Bible uses the term youth, and so we'll just use that word. He was a youth at that time. David's dad says, David, I want you to take some food to your brothers at the battlefield. So David takes off and he goes. When he gets there, Goliath is mocking and tormenting and teasing the soldiers of David's brothers and King Saul. And Goliath is just humiliating them. Well, it bothered David. And David said, you know, somebody needs to stand up to this guy. And nobody did. Saul was the tallest man in his kingdom. The Bible says he was head and shoulders above any other man, which meant Saul, get this, can you imagine? Saul was about 18 inches taller than any man in his kingdom. That meant if the average man back then was 6 foot tall, Saul was pushing 7.5 foot tall. And but Saul wouldn't do anything about this big goon named Goliath. And David said, somebody needs to do something about this. And his brothers tried to calm him down, saying, now, David, just calm down. I think they thought, little brother, you know, you're going to get into trouble here, little brother. You need to calm down, little brother. Well, the next thing you know, David is talking to Saul, the king. And David said, you know, somebody needs to take care of this. And Saul uses those words that we heard. He said, you are but a youth. Well, David heard that, and David said, well, listen, I fought a bear, and I whipped up on a bear, and I fought a lion, and I whipped up on a lion, and I'll do the same thing to the big goon Goliath. Well, I don't even know how it really happened. If it were not of God, it wouldn't have happened, because Saul lets a kid that rode a wagon full of cheese and bread from Panera Bread down to the battlefield, and he's now going to let this kid go fight Goliath. So now that you've got David and Goliath, they're facing off on the battlefield, and Goliath starts mocking him, and the Bible says he's really teasing him. And again, the impression, the words are used there twice, once by Saul and once when David is facing Goliath, that David is but a youth. Well, you got to understand then, as we all know the story, David pulled out his sling and he took a shot at Goliath with his sling, and he hit him right between the eyes and put Goliath down, whacked his head off, and they didn't use the words thereafter, but a youth. It was no longer you are but a youth. His potential was phenomenal. It was incredible. You know what they did? David's brothers did not take David the youth seriously. Saul the king did not take David the youth seriously. The biggest mistake was made by Goliath. He didn't take David seriously. It cost him his life. It cost Saul a tremendous humiliation. Later on in life, David is coming into town, and all the people in town are singing a song. Saul hath killed his thousands. And then they say about David, but David hath killed his tens of thousands. David's brothers are not the ones that went down in history. You don't hear all these fantastic stories in Sunday school all the time about David's brothers, but you do hear about David and you do hear about Goliath. What happened? Somebody did not take a youth seriously. I call the lesson tonight, helping your relationship with teenagers. If you're a parent, if you'll listen to some of what I say, I think it will help you if you have teenagers. And so you know, you say, well, my children are much younger than that. Well, let me tell you something. They will be teenagers eventually. There's no stopping them. And you'll wish you could put them back, but you won't be able to. You can't bypass those years. But if you're a parent, if you'll listen, I think I can help you. If you're a bus worker, I think I can help you. If you're a Sunday school teacher, helping your relationship with teenagers will be an asset to you. If you're a soul winner, those of you that help in choirs, and there's just so many times we come in contact with young people, the youth, and we're going to talk about that very thing, helping our relationship with teenagers. Now, let me explain something. I do believe that teenagers, they want to be taken seriously. They want to be taken seriously. Now, you have to understand, a teenager is no longer a little child. And the truth is, they're a little more adult than they are child. And we can make a mistake if we continue to treat them like they're a little baby when they're not a baby anymore. Now, right now, if the teenagers had the confidence, they would be saying, "Amen, preacher, come on, bring it on, that's right." They're not babies. They're not little kids anymore. And where we make the mistake is, oh, you knew them when they were little. And moms and dads, sometimes it's hard to realize they're growing up. They're not a baby anymore. They've become a young adult. Now, they're not all the way there yet. They don't have all the tools that you might have in your problem-solving toolbox, but you need to remember back when you were their age. You didn't have everything you needed back then either. So what I have learned about helping and having good relationship with teenagers is I try to treat them not as a child, but as a young, maturing adult. I think one of the greatest ways to communicate your love and your care for young people is to take them seriously. What can tend to happen, we adults can tend to look down on or not take seriously someone that's in their youth, and I'll promise you, there's a certain offense that the young person takes with that. The teenagers will say, "I don't want to be treated like a baby." And mom is apt to say, "Well, then don't act like one."
Amen.
Okay, but let me explain something. Parents, there is a way you're to act too. And when you say, if you don't want to be treated like a baby, don't act like one, it's time for some parents to grow up too. And start learning how to be a good parent. And so God could look down, and as you say, if you don't want to be treated like a child, don't act like one, God could look down and say, "Well, you really think you're hot. You're right on top of that 13-year-old, and you're so brilliant. Well, you're not such a hot parent." And so God could say the same thing. Don't you think there are things in our lives as parents where we ought to mature up, and we ought to know better, and we shouldn't handle ourselves that way? God, who is ultimately mature, could say to a parent, "You don't want to be treated like a baby, don't act like one." So, if you want help with your relationship with your teenager, one of the keys is to take them a little more seriously. Their problems, their joys, their hurts, their disappointments, their victories, all of those things are real to them. Did you know that the issues and the happenings of life for a 13-year-old are as big and real to them as someone that's 23 or 33 or 43 or 53 years of age? Somehow we think that, well, they're not really living their life. Oh, yes, they are. Now, they have emotions too, and fears, and concerns, and weaknesses, and strengths. This will be hard for some of you to understand. They're human beings too. You know what someone did? Someone didn't take David seriously when he was a youth. His brothers didn't take him seriously. King Saul didn't take him seriously. Goliath didn't take him seriously. Well, I think there's a lesson to be learned. I think you will help your relationship with teenagers. And I wouldn't say that this is a child-rearing lesson. I'm talking about in general. If you want to have a better relationship with young people, you need to take them a little more seriously. Treat them more maturely, not less. There's not a teenager in my church or under the sound of my voice that I don't treat with maturity. They're treated that way. You know what happens? When they're treated that way, they're more apt to step up and act that way. They're more apt to do that. Now, stay with me as I take this idea a little further. Number one, take their hurts seriously. Their hurts. Look, I want you all to understand, a young person, a teenager, when they have a friendship or a relationship at their age, and it's damaged, It's a very big deal to them. Very big deal to them. And you'll see their emotional reaction to it. Let me tell you something. Take their hurts seriously. They hurt too. They hurt as much at 14 years of age as you hurt at 14 years of age. But here's what we're apt to do. You're now 40 and they're 14. And they had an issue with a friend, and this turned into some chaos. And you say, "Well, just grow up." Well, listen, they are growing up. They are growing up, and that is a real hurt. And here's what you can begin to do, adults. You begin to look at them and say, "Well, I'm an adult, and adults don't act that way." Listen, you acted that way when you were that age, and when you went through relationship, catastrophes. Can you remember being 12 or 13? And say, the girl that you used to think had cooties, all of a sudden you realize she's got pretty hair and you're 13 and you didn't think, all you ever wanted to do growing up was, fight with the girls, but all of a sudden you thought, well, these might not be creatures with which to fight. And then she turns her nose up and doesn't like you and says something about you to her friend, and you're devastated. You're thinking, "I'll never be able to go out in public again." Listen, their hurts are real. They're real. Take their hurts seriously. I'll tell you what, if you don't, they're going to feel like you're being petty with them. And remember, the issue is they're now more adult than they are child. You're treating them like a child, and there's almost an offense in it. If you can work your way through that, where that offense is not there, it shows a respect to them, and I promise you, they begin to act more like how they're being treated. So remember, take their hurts seriously. If someone has broken their heart, don't humiliate them about their immature heart. Care about their broken heart. You say, "Well, they should have never been hurt by that." I know, but you were hurt by it when you were 13 or 14 or 15. You're more mature than that now. Just remember, take their hurts seriously. Number two, take their concerns and their worries. Listen right here. Take their concerns and their worries seriously. A young person, they get concerns, they get worries. And again, if you're not careful, your maturity looks at them and you can minimize their worries. And you can, almost to the point of humiliation. "Why are you so shook up about that?" You ought to see, as a pastor, I sometimes ask myself about you adults. What's wrong with you? Get it together, buddy. You're embarrassing yourself. You don't have to act that way. But I never say that to you. Now I'm going to take your hurts seriously. I'm going to take your worries seriously. Remember, they have worries. They have concerns. You say to them, they're concerned about what their peers said or did. Now, when you say to them, "Oh, don't worry about what those kids think," just so you know, you can say that all you want. They're still going to be concerned about what their peers think. They're going to. So you say, "Well, what do I do?" Why not say, "That hurts. And I remember when I was concerned about my peers. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel embarrassed by that, or I'm sorry that happened. But we'll get through this." Be careful that there is not an attack on the immaturity. And the temptation is almost overwhelming. You just want to do the attack on the immaturity. But did you know something? They are growing up. But there's only so much maturity available to a 14-year-old. Is it possible they are mature to the level that a 14-year-old could be mature? Is it possible that they can't be as mature as you are at 35? Is it possible? In some cases, they're more. how do you help yourself with a relationship with a teenager? I'll promise you, they did not take David seriously. His brothers didn't take him seriously. The king did not take him seriously. Goliath did not take him seriously. He came out the other end, and he did a phenomenal thing. So they're more adult than they are child, and they would like the privilege of getting a little more of that adult-like treatment. Which is what? Just take them a little more seriously. You say, will they ever have flashbacks to their childhood? You know they will. You know that thing of, well, you want to be treated like an adult, act like one. They're going to have flashbacks, but you just need to hold it together when it's happening. Now, so I said, take their hurt seriously. Secondly, take their worries seriously. Thirdly, you might even take their way of having fun a little more seriously. You know, most teenagers do not expect adults to necessarily want to have their kind of fun. As long as it's good, clean fun, though, why not do what they think is fun? You want to build a little better relationship. Say, you know what, I've got a 14-year-old boy, and I think I would like him and I to go do something that would be a lot of fun, so I'll take him out, and we're going to have some father-son time together. We're going to go antiquing. Well, that's brilliant. I'm just sure that that 14 or 15-year-old boy would love to go look at antiques with you. Well, we're going to go to a museum and look at artifacts. The only kind of museum a teenage boy wants to go to is a basketball museum. Most of them don't even want to go to that kind of a museum. But listen, take their fun a little more seriously. And again, we're not talking about sinful. But anybody that wants, I love what Brother Elswick does. I don't know how he does it, but he comes up with these wild teenager-type things to do with them because it interests them. They have what I think they call it the pumpkin bash. And that's where they play basketball with pumpkins and baseball with pumpkins, and they have a really good time. Now, you're going to find out that if you'll take their joys and the things that they like, you take it a little more seriously, you'll begin to bond with them a little bit. Here's what you want. You're saying, I wish that they would reach up toward me with a little more maturity. And they're wishing you would reach down toward them with and understand where they're at in life. So take their hurt seriously. Take their worries or concerns more seriously. Take their way of having fun a little more seriously. Number four, take their weaknesses seriously. And I don't mean just as a constant way of attacking them. They have weaknesses. Okay, for instance, let's say that a young person has concern about their clothing. And they usually do. They begin to find themselves concerned about their clothing. Now, when they were little, all they knew was to take their clothes off and throw it on the floor. And that was just about the end of it. They didn't have a concern. But as they grow older and they reach the teenage years, they find themselves worried. And you might say, well, that's a bit of a weakness. Well, you can call it whatever you want. They're still going to be concerned about their clothes. So help them. Help them to understand their clothes. And if I were you, I would try to help them to feel comfortable in their clothing. I hate to tell you this. Don't make your kid be a nerd all their life. You have any idea how hard it is to be a nerd all your life because your parents force you to be a nerd all your life? And I'm not talking about, you know, I think there's a right and a wrong way to dress. I believe that very, very deeply. But parents, you say, well, what's the big deal? Listen, to a young person, when they come into their teenage years, their image, their peers, becomes a very, very powerful influence in their life. Now, parent, there's a way for you to get involved in that in a good way and in a right way, and you help them. And so you say, well, I think they're just being weak, being concerned about their clothes. You know, most adults are concerned about their clothes. And there's a right way of doing it. There's a right way of handling it. You know, young people get very concerned about how they look, their blemishes, all of that. Now, if you want, you can treat, you can talk down to them, or you can take these things a little more seriously. And by so doing, you'll connect a little bit more with that young person. So you take their hurts seriously. You take their worries and concerns seriously. You maybe even take seriously their way of having fun. You take their weaknesses or those things that they struggle with, whether it's blemishes, the clothing. You know, if a young person had a fear, young people just petrified of getting involved musically because they don't think they can. Well, help them. Help them to learn. Help them to figure it out. But those things will help you to make a connect with that young person. Remember, they're not a child anymore. We realize they're not a full-blown, totally mature adult, but they're more adult than they are child. And when you begin to take seriously the issues of their life, you're pulling them up into maturity. When you use their issues against them, if you're not careful, you push them back down. And you may find a whole lot more of immature behavior because they're being treated with an immature stance from the leader. Let me go on. Take their accomplishments seriously. Now, they got an award at school, but it was no real big deal to you. They gave them a little ribbon at school. Let me tell you something. If a young person does something good and they're rewarded for it, I think it doesn't hurt a thing that they get some credit and they get some praise and that it's pointed out. Do you remember back? I remember getting trophies when I was in school. I remember getting medals. I remember getting ribbons. I remember getting spankings. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have thrown that in there. But that was a big deal to me. I'll never forget when I got my very first baseball trophy. That was a big deal. I mean, a big deal. I am very glad that my parents got in on the big deal. Now, they never promoted sports as being the most important thing in life, but they made a big deal. They made a big deal about the accomplishment when I made the honor roll. They made a big deal. You know what parents will do? Parents will throw a fit when a child gets a bad grade. But the child gets an A or a B, well, we don't recognize that. Matter of fact, we're still bitter about the bad grade they got on the last report card. So listen, take seriously their accomplishments. If it's an award, take it seriously. It means something to them. If they won something, take it seriously. If they are honored in some way, take it seriously. It wouldn't hurt that we pointed out their good accomplishments. If you want to make a connect with a young person, don't treat them like a baby. Treat them like a maturing young adult. Take seriously this era of their life like they do. And if you'll do that, you'll begin to pull them up into that realm that you want them in, which is a mature realm. So I'm going to take their hurts seriously. I'm going to take their worries seriously. I'm going to take even some of their fun more seriously. I don't think that they're going to have my kind of fun. It doesn't hurt as long as it's good, clean fun that I try to have some of their kind of fun. I want to take their weaknesses seriously. I want to take their accomplishments more seriously. And look, if something brings them joy, try to take that seriously. If it's big to them, make it big to you. If it's something that encourages them, let it encourage you. We get busy. We get living in what we would call the responsibility mode in the adult world where you've got to pay your bills and you've got a job and you've got a mortgage and you got to pay for a car and you got to pay the electric bill. But you need to understand something. They're handling what responsibility they have at their stage too. If we're not careful, we begin to think they ought to be where we're at, and that's not fair, and it's not even where they're supposed to be at that stage in life. And so we're almost insistent that they give us something that I'm not even sure they can totally give us. But if you take seriously the issues that they face, I think it matures them the right way. So if it's something that they enjoy, try to enjoy it with them. And again, I've said this a couple times. I'm not talking about sinful things. Now, I'm not going to turn in to a teenager, and I'm not going to do wrong things with my teenager to win their heart. I never did that at my home. There was right and wrong in my home, and there were rules in my home. But I tried to connect with my kids. Let me go on. Take their embarrassments seriously. I'm going to tell you right now something I'm 100% sure of. Young people, teenagers, hate public humiliation. They hate it. And so, you know, and they shouldn't do this, but I wrote this down, and I think it's pretty close to true. They tend to hate those who would publicly humiliate them. You say, well, I'll embarrass them in front of all their friends. Yeah. What I would do before you embarrass them in front of all their friends, why don't you pull them aside and in private see if you could fix the matter instead of humiliating them in front of all their friends? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You ask any teenager here, they do not want publicly humiliated by anyone. They do not want to be embarrassed in front of their peers. So be careful. Take their embarrassments seriously. Now, I realize there's scripture that comes to my mind. The Bible says, smite the scorner, that the simple beware. And so that's talking about someone that's a scorner, and they will be publicly corrected. And that way others will see that you will not scorn. But most of the time, the young people are not scorners per se. And therefore, I don't think God is telling us to go around and just be publicly humiliating people all the time. I don't think that's what that verse about smiting the scorner means. But I know this. If something embarrasses them, be thoughtful of that. You know, parents, if your child embarrasses you, it's pretty hard. It's pretty rough. I wonder how many of you in raising your kids would say, you better not be acting like that down at the church. Now, what are you worried about? Your child's behavior or how your child's behavior affects your reputation? Don't forget what your name is. Oh, my. Well, if we're concerned about our child humiliating us, do you think ever that a young person might be a little concerned about us humiliating our child? Be careful, because embarrassment and public humiliation is very hard on a young person. Little ones, you know, first, second, third grade, I don't know. I've never really seen many first graders that were just totally publicly humiliated and can't face their peers anymore. No, they're not that way. Oh, but you let them get 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age, they are freaked out about the thought of you calling them down in front of their friends. Their friends are so important to them. So I'm just saying, just be careful. Watch that you are not constantly publicly humiliating, because you're going to create a breach between you and them. I'll tell you something I remember. I cannot remember which one of my kids said this, but I remember them saying this and to me. They said, Dad, I am so glad that we're not embarrassed of Mom when she comes to pick us up at school. Because evidently they had some friends that were embarrassed of their parents. You say, well, why in the world would anybody be embarrassed of their mom? Oh, Mom goes to the school in her bathrobe and doesn't put her makeup on and her hair's sticking straight up like she's a scarecrow, and you can, you know, she's just in a tizzy in the way she acts. And did you know something? Your kids ought not be embarrassed. And you ought to keep some of that in mind. It's just, I think it's just important. Do adults, do you ever remember the fear of embarrassment at all? It was there. It's real. So if you want to have a better relationship with a teenager, remember, they're more adult than they are child. They're growing and leaving the childhood behind. Try your best to treat them more like an adult and less like a child. They're going to slip back some. We all do. How do you do it? You take this era of their life a little more seriously with them. You do it by taking their hurts seriously. You do it by taking their worries seriously. You do it by maybe even taking their way of having fun a little more seriously. You do it by taking their joys more seriously and their weaknesses more seriously. You take their accomplishments more seriously. You take their embarrassments more seriously. Let me go on. Take their interests and take it a little more serious as an adult. Learn some of their interests. You want to connect with a young person. Moms, you might as well learn something. Your daughter's hair is an issue. When they become teenagers, it becomes even more of an issue. So if I were you, you might want to take an interest in hair for a little while. It just helps. Your boy, if he likes sports, learn something about sports. If they like cars, learn a little something about cars. But if you'll take their interests a little more seriously, you'll find yourself closer to them. You'll find your relationship with them. Hey, those of you that are, you're a bus worker and you've got teenagers on the bus. If you just take an interest in some of the things that they take an interest in, you'll connect with them. I'll tell you this, you'll be a better soul winner if you'll do what I'm telling you. With anyone, one of the first things I do if I don't know someone is I try to figure out a way to connect with the lost person. If I can find an interest of theirs that's not sinful, and I can take an interest in their interest, it reels them in a little closer to where I'll have the chance to present the gospel. I mean, if somebody's got a boat sitting in their front yard and you want to win them to Christ, if I were you, I wouldn't walk up to the door and say, "That boat probably keeps you out of church on Sunday. That's why you're going to hell." Well, you probably won't get the chance to present the gospel to them. Boy, but if you admire that boat and you say, "That's quite a nice boat. That's a gorgeous boat. You look at the name on that boat. They may listen to you. You may have the chance to reel them in, but what are you doing? You're taking their interest more seriously. I think the same thing with a young person. You say, "But I'm not interested in what they're interested in." You're supposed to be interested in them because you care about them, because you love them. Don't get the mindset, folks, our lives are really not all about us. They're about other people. If you want to have a better relationship with a young person, slow down and take an interest in what they're interested in. It will help. So we're going to take their hurts more seriously, their worries more seriously, their fun more seriously, their joys more seriously, their weaknesses more seriously, their accomplishments more seriously, their embarrassments more seriously, their interests more seriously, and there's only two left and we'll be done. Take their victories and their good decisions more seriously. You take, for instance, brother, let's say, I'll use Brother Elswick again. Brother Elswick preaches a sermon in Youth Ablaze, our youth department meeting, and a teenager makes a decision for God. Now, let me tell you something. There's a couple directions you can go with that as an adult. You can either congratulate that young person and back them and believe in them, or you can say this, "Well, we'll see how long it lasts this time." Boy, you just shot yourself in the foot. I think you ought to invest some belief and some faith in that decision. "Well, yes, but Pastor, that they've made this decision before." Well, hot rod, how many times have you made the decision before for God and went back on it? How many times have you decided that you were going to read your Bible every day and you don't? And pray and you don't? And stop your lust and you don't? Well, maybe God ought to just say to you, "Oh, big deal. You made a decision. You back out on all your decisions." That's what God could say to you. But God loves you. God cares that you grow. So, look, they make a decision. Let's jump on the bandwagon. you're gonna much more get what God needs out of that decision by encouraging and praising and believing. You say, but I just don't want to be disappointed. Well, you're gonna have a terrible life if you don't want to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed just like your parents were disappointed in you, just like your God has been disappointed in you. But we'll get more out of it if we will take their victories and their good decisions more seriously. Look, if your teenager comes home and they tell you that they had a visitor that came on the bus, let me tell you something. That is praiseworthy that your teenager went out and visited in the community, found somebody, and brought them to church. And then, you know, many times that person gets saved at church. Wow! What an impact that young person has made. But when they are experiencing victories, when they're experiencing spiritual decisions, they need your backing. They need your belief. It's awful easy for a parent to almost take energy away from a young person that's trying again to do the right thing. So take their victories more seriously. This is the last point I'll make, and we'll be done. I think what I'm trying to tell you tonight is this: take their potential seriously. Take their potential seriously. David was but a youth. Everybody pointed that out to him. His brothers, they tried to talk him out of wanting to get involved. They did not take David seriously. King Saul did not take David seriously. Goliath did not take David seriously. But you know something? David had the goods. He had the goods. Listen, don't sell young people short. I would say there are more visitors brought to your church by the teenagers in this church than by all the adults here. For some of you, your kids do more than you do for Christ. Their potential is incredible. Don't sell them short. The Beach Boys were a bunch of teenagers that virtually revolutionized a bad part of the music industry, but they did. You don't think young people have power of influence? They certainly do. Young men that were drafted and went to war at age 18 helped to conquer evil in the World War. They were teenagers. Young people have a lot of, you know, I look and I watch, and it's fantastic. You, on a Sunday morning, you watch the buses unloading out here. And you watch a teenager walk in. They've got five or six children behind them that they're leading to a Sunday school class. You watch them when they leave out of here on Saturday as they're going out soul winning, and you watch. You say, "Ah, but look, they get to goofing off and running in the hallway." Look, if all we have to deal with around here is running in the hallway and somebody that stopped up a commode, and they don't do that here, but somebody stopped up a commode, and you say, "These bunch of rebels." I'm sorry, that really doesn't exist here. The potential is incredible, just incredible. So, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you really do see something happen. You see some people that did not take seriously a youth. And that young person proved out. I'll never forget my mentor. He was a very young man, and someone mocked him. And really didn't think he had much potential. And that someone mocked him to the point that they said to him one day, "Well, why don't you just go out and build the biggest church in the world?" That's what they said to him when he was a young man, to humiliate him. You know what he did? He went out and built the biggest church in the world. One point, run 20, 25,000 people on a Sunday at a church. Go down in history. But when he was young, somebody didn't believe in him. Somebody wanted to almost humiliate. Instead of draw him up, they wanted to push him down. Now, I'm not trying to eliminate discipline. I'm not trying to eliminate respect. Young people, you're to respect your mom and dad. You're to do what mom and dad tell you. You're to respect your elders. But I am coming to all of us on behalf of some tremendous potential and say, we just have to take a little more seriously what can be accomplished in the teenage years and the era in which they live. You were there once. And I've said this to more than one group. The young people, many of your young people are far better at their age than what you were when you were their age. So let's build our relationships with the young people. It will certainly help us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Young people, I want you to respect mom and dad. I want you to do right. But as your pastor, I want you to know I believe in you. I think it's incredible what you can accomplish and what you get done and what you mean to the church. Handle yourselves right to all the adults and the youth leaders and everybody that's involved. Let's make sure that we see the potential and that God gets the best out of all of us in regard to it. We're going to have a brief time. If you need a moment at the altar, we'll give you a chance to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It's so easy to see the negative. It's so easy to maybe feel like, well, they ought to know more, do more, accomplish more. Oh, yeah, sure. Boy, just be careful. We're talking about our future leaders. Take their hurts more seriously. Take their embarrassments more seriously. Take their accomplishments more seriously. Take their joys more seriously. Take their embarrassments more seriously. Take their interests, their victories. Take their potential more seriously. Folks, you can have a seat. I was in a conversation with another pastor just a couple of days ago, and I'm going to tell you something. I got to brag about something, and he said, you know, I can't get the adults in my church to do anything. He said, I got a pretty good group of young people, but our church, we're just not getting anywhere. I said, hang in there, buddy. I said, you keep those young people right with God the best you can. It'll pay off. And then I stopped. I took out a little piece of paper and I started counting the number of young people in our church that within just the last couple of years left the youth department. I came up with 13 names of prominent leaders in our church. This is a couple of years ago where the teenagers that were throwing water balloons at youth activities. Now they're bus captains and Sunday school teachers and directors of music groups. Prominent leaders in the church. Look. We need the young people so that the church remains strong. We need them. So there's a right and a wrong way to build our relationships with them. You know, you don't want all the kids, and this happens in churches all the time, you don't want all the kids that go to your church to do fine until they're 18, they graduate, then they run off and they never come back to church. They don't want anything to do with God anymore. That's not what we're looking for. We want them to stay in the church. We want them to keep on serving God. And a lesson like this will help to get some of that accomplished.